I'm still having trouble with my throat, and so I will apologize as much as I can for that, but ask you to bear with me as I endeavor to present unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your testaments handy, I invite you to turn to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25. And we want to begin reading with verse 14. And we will read through verse 30. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise he that had received the two, he also gained the other two. But he that had received the one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five more. The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received the two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord has said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, receiving there where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not answered. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath ten talents. For unto every one that shall receive be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now for the application. The application is a powerful one. There is a form of a proverb that has been in existence for a long time, and it may have been taken from this, I don't know. But it goes something like this. Use it or lose it. Did you see that in this lesson the Lord taught? Use it or lose it. That is so very, very true. God has given everyone a talent, or talents in the plural. He said in the beginning of the existence of mankind that he created all evil. I mean all equal. Created us all equal. Now that has been sadly used in more modern times. The idea being, if there's going to be some rich, then we all have to be rich. Or if we have to be poor, then all have to be poor. We got to be equal. That's not what the Lord said. That's not what He was talking about. He has created with you exactly what He has created with me. And every one of us created exactly like you and me. By the holy hands of the divine Creator. He has given both of us a mind. He has given us the ability to use that mind. Every one of us has that mind. We are equal in having the mind. We're all equal so far as our physical makeup is concerned. We all have eyes, we all have nose, we all have feet, we all have knees, we all have everything that the physical body was built by. That's an equality. But at the same time, God has given us work to do upon the basis of the amount of talents that He's given us to work with. Now, we do not all have the same abilities, but we all have abilities. And what's going to happen if we do not use those abilities that God has given unto us? Will He be glorified as a result of it? Or will He be disappointed in us? And what did we just read concerning this one individual that did not use what God gave him to use, or what the Master gave him to use for him? He was cast out as an unprofitable servant. Do you suppose that you will be a profitable servant if you do not use the ability or abilities that God has given you? Now it's very possible, and I'm sure it's so, that there are many who do not realize or understand the use of our abilities, especially those of us in Christ Jesus. Because we somehow have gotten the idea that all that we are to do in service unto our Lord is in the meeting place. That's just a small part of what God has given us abilities to do. And certainly we do not all have the abilities to do even that. There are some who do not have the ability to sing a song. It's kind of hard to find that individual. We find in the Old Testament an individual that said he knew how to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We all can do that, all who have voices. That's something that God has given us. And if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. Have you ever known anybody to do that? I have. I've been there. I know what it's like. I used to do a lot of song leading, but I can't hardly do a one anymore because I've lost my voice so far as that is concerned. I've worked diligently to build a speaking voice, and that, of course, has taken away some of the singing voice. But the fact remains, God has given us all eyes with which to see. He's given us all brains with which to use concerning that which we do see. Therefore, He has given unto us His Word, Word that He planned from before the creation. And the purpose of that Word is not only for those who would accept it to glorify Him, but also to make it possible for some to be received by Him. Do we use the abilities that we have in order to please God? Not only in the worship service. Certainly we should use the abilities we have. If we have the ability to sing, sing with all of our heart. That's what we're commanded to do. Sing with all of the heart. If we have the ability to pray, we may not have the ability to lead in the prayer, but we have the ability to follow the one who is leading in the prayer. You may not have the ability to stand before the audience and proclaim the gospel of Christ, but you do have the ability to encourage someone else to sit with you and hear the gospel of Christ. You bring somebody to services with you. And on that we might go. You see the point. If we do not use the abilities, the talents, if you will, that God has given to us to work for Him, to do His service here upon this earth, we're going to lose it. And if we lose it, what then? What then? What happened to this fellow we just read about? Cast out this unprofitable servant. When we stand before that great judge in judgment, and we come face to face with the fact that we did not use what God has given us to glorify and to serve Him, and He says, depart from me, are we going to smile? That's going to be one of the hardest days anybody's going to face, to being cast out of that eternal home with God because we didn't use it, therefore we lost it. So He expects us to use what He has given unto us to render an acceptable service unto Him. The New Testament is just filled with what God wants us to do in service unto Him. But you know what? He's given us a mind with which to seek it and to do it. And if we do not use the mind to seek it, are we going to even get it to lose? So that's where it has to begin. Use our mind to get what God would have us to do. I want us to look in 2 Peter chapter 1. There are many examples that we could turn to get this particular point, hopefully lodged in our minds, as if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. But there's something here in what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 that explains or exemplifies this whole scene for us. And it puts every one of us under the weight of the teaching of our Lord to accomplish it with the reward at the end. Let's see what he said. Beginning at verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Stop right there for a moment. Add to your faith. Do you have any faith? Peter was penning this epistle to those, as he declares in verse 2, of like precious faith. And that like precious faith is the faith that the Word of God produces. Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So if we turn our eyes, as it were, to the Word of God to find out what God teaches, it is that Word that will produce faith in our minds. Now the individual who has put Christ on in obedience to what the gospel teaches, now is a new babe in Christ Jesus, spiritually speaking. What does a new babe have before him? Growth. Growth. And that's exactly what Peter puts before us in this particular passage. Add to that faith. Well, that's something He gives us to do. And He has given us the tools by which we can accomplish that. But if we don't use our mind to get that faith, are we adding to it? Are we going to lose what we started out with? So we are to develop that faith. We're to use that faith. Don't stop to think that everything that God created, He gave it the power to grow.
Think about it. Everything that God created, He gave it the power to grow. Have you ever seen a mountain that has grown? Well, the mountain grows. Not as fast as we might anticipate, but as time goes on, that mountain's either going to grow up or it's going to grow down. It'll get larger, it'll get smaller. The same thing is true with your mind and my mind. It's going to either get larger or it's going to get smaller. The same thing is true with our faith. We're either going to get more faith or we're going to lose what we have. Now, where does that put you? And where does that put me? Are we still standing on ground zero and have not yet begun to grow spiritually? That means our faith growing. Well, if we're not studying the words of God for the right purpose, our faith's not going to do much growing. What is the purpose for which we should study the Word of God? Well, Peter's about to tell us. So add to your faith then virtue. Well, what is virtue that we're to add to our faith? Virtue is moral goodness. Moral goodness. Look at the word picture. That's all we have, is a word picture of Jesus the Christ. Peter says, He is our example that we should follow in His steps. What do we see in Him when we see Him through His Word? Do we see a moral character? Do we see Him like we see so many folks today? All they can think of is something that is immoral. You can't pick up a newspaper, can't pick up a magazine, can't turn on your television, can't turn on your radio, can't look down the street without seeing or hearing something immoral in our society today. Well, what kind of a character must I develop myself to be living in this world of corruption? Look at Jesus the Christ. He's our example. Follow in His footsteps. Well, how do we do that? Study concerning what He lived and what He taught while He was here among the flesh. Was He always out seeking immorality in any form? No. We seem teaching against that rather than to seek it, to try to be entertained and stimulated by it. He said it will condemn us. Well, what's our attitude toward the world today? Do we fit into it? What's our character like in this sin-cursed world? What does the world see in us? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What does the world see when it looks at you? Can it see an upright, godly character, a moral character in you? Or do they see you down at the beach in a bikini? Or do they see you in these houses of sexual fun and frolic? What do they see in you? Fulfilling your time not only on the job, but when you get off the job, you've got to be entertained. But what does the entertainment world offer to build up your faith, to make of you the kind of man that we see Jesus pictured of being in the world? So, there's something that we must do. If we're not adding to it, we're losing from it. We're losing from it. But he said, in addition to adding that virtue, he says, knowledge. Knowledge. That word knowledge pops up about four times in what we're reading here. We've got to get stronger mentally, you see. Knowledge is so important. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It takes knowledge. Be workers for Jesus the Christ. It takes the knowing how. That's knowledge. How's our knowledge stand the test? Are we being strengthened by an increase in our knowledge? Are we learning anything that will help us make our way to heaven? Anything that will glorify our God? Anything that will stand the cross of Jesus the Christ? What is our minds filled with anyway? Ask somebody about politics and they'll run over. They don't know when to quit. Ask somebody about the entertainment in the world, what the athletic world is doing and so on. They don't know when to quit. Ask them, what does God tell us to do in order to be saved? I don't know. What church are you a member of? Well, I'm a member of such and such down the street. Well, where do you find that in the Word of God? I don't know. I'll go ask my preacher. Does that indicate knowledge? God has supplied the source of the knowledge we must have in order to grow and develop. And if we're not growing that knowledge, getting stronger in that knowledge, how do we know what to do? So if our knowledge is not growing and developing, we're losing it. We're losing it. Will that get us to heaven? No, not any more than that one talent man pleased his master. Didn't please him, did it? Get rid of him, he says. So we've got to study to show ourselves approved. I'm afraid too many of us have the idea to study to show whether somebody else is approved or not. Let's begin with number one. That's where it must begin. So add to that faith knowledge. And we ought to be impressed with the fact that each one of these points requires that you pick it up and take it with you and use it as you go. It'll sure help you as you make the next point if you have the last one or two with you. What's the next point? Patience. Patience. Add to your faith patience. What in the world is patience? Somebody has the idea, I'm being patient. Just sit back and twiddle our thumbs. Well, I'd have you to understand, beloved, that the New Testament use of the word patience doesn't request the twiddling of the thumbs. But it does request that we take up the Spirit and stand against the tide. Consider Job, we're told in the text. Consider Job, and he has always been used in a man of patience. Look what all was hurled against him. He lost everything, but he did not lose his place with God. He maintained his faith in God. He didn't lose it. Well, what was his condition at the end? He had by far more in the end than he had when he begun. Why? Because he had it and he didn't lose it. He used it. So if we have this knowledge, we're going to be able to develop in this patience. Because it's the handling of the knowledge where the patience comes into action. and we must act in service unto God. Then he says we must add to that patience godliness. Godliness. Well, you know, godliness is like God. Now, certainly we cannot be just exactly like God, can we? But we can be the kind of a character that God would have us to be. As we studied in our Bible class this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we must be holy. Why must we be holy? Because He is holy. So if we're striving to be holy because He is holy, aren't we trying to be like Him? But if we're not striving to be like Him, are we going to lose it? Are we going to change our mind if indeed we may be losing it in order to use it to His glory and to our eternal salvation? Strive to be like Him. Good. Can we see anything bad about Him? Not a syllable. It's all good. So when we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we're going to be good. We're going to be holy as He is holy. And that's godliness. So we must develop in godliness. And as we develop it, we must use it in service unto God. If we don't use it, we're going to lose it. And he continues then by telling us that we must grow in brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Well, that simply means we got to learn how to get along one with another. That's where brotherly kindness works, in our dealings one with the other. Well, I just can't stand him. I just don't like him at all. I'm not going to have anything to do with him. And he may be a brother in Christ. There may be not a thing with him, that he's using his talents and his abilities. He's not losing them. He's using them. And yet, I don't see a thing about him to love him. Well, fact number one, he's in Christ too. And the both of us are members of the precious spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Now think about what you're doing to the church. If he could be considered the right arm and you may be considered the left foot, and you can't stand him, just can't get along with him, you are affecting his work of service unto God. You're weakening. But what are you doing all the time? You're accusing him of something he may not be. You're losing the use of your leg. Or you're losing, causing Christ to lose the use of his leg. So one member can cause a terrible wrong in the body of Jesus the Christ by not using what God has given him to use, but rather he's losing it. So, we must love one another as brethren. If we can't get along here, brethren, we're not going to get along in heaven, because we're not going to be there. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love is an essential, as we're about to see. The next point that he says that we are to add to is brotherly kindness, charity. That word charity is simply love. The love that God had for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the love that Jesus gave to us when he gave his life's blood to make it possible for us to be saved. This is the kind of love that demands of us to be of service and to help somebody else when the somebody else needs our help. And bless your heart, every one of us needs some help. Every one of us needs some help. What is it that we're told to do over in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 24? Here we're told that we're to have a very serious consideration, one for the other. And that we're not to forsake ourselves from the assemblies. What do we do at the assembly? That's where we are helping one another in our service unto God. We must encourage and admonish one another. Can we accomplish that if we're never where the other is? Are we about to lose something? If we're not using this love, then we're losing. We're losing the spiritual battle. But he continues to say in verse 8, "For if these things be in you," now watch it closely, "if these things be in you and abound," they grow. They get stronger. That's what's involved in this abounding. "They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why, the more we use them, the better we're serving the Lord and the more glory He bestows upon us. But, he that lacketh these things, he's losing. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that it was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Diligence. That's with all carefulness. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. See, the doing goes up. But the undoing or not doing goes down. So if you do these things, you'll not fall. You'll be going up, as it were. You'll be working out your salvation, as it were, by virtue of the fact that you're rendering service unto God. That's what's involved. You're rendering a service unto God. "For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But I will not have you, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. There's no time for us to turn our back upon what we just looked at. Did you notice? He said, if you do these things, you'll never fall. But what happens if we're not the doers? James tells us in James 1, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers only. Are we really doers of God's word? That is, being obedient to the word of God? Are we learning what He would have us do? Are we devoting ourselves as the time and the opportunity presents itself to do something to His glory and to helping somebody else? You know, everything that we do to make ourselves better in the sight of God is going to be a better help to somebody on earth. Did you ever stop to think about that? You are helping or you are discouraging somebody by what you are either doing or by what you're not doing. So what then should be the conclusion be? Lose it or do it or lose it. Do it or lose it. So when God commands us to do something, do it.
and not lose it.
But do not be sluggish or indifferent in finding out what God would have you do. That'll cause you to lose it. So with all diligence and with all carefulness, let us fulfill the responsibility that God has given unto us in Christ Jesus to prove ourselves to be His children. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14, verse 16, we and our spirit must be in a spirit with in agreement with the Spirit of God if we are the children of God. So if we're not fulfilling what the Spirit of God would have us to know and to do, we're losing being children of God. But if we're seeking what the Holy Spirit would have us to do, we're strengthening our relationship with God as His children. Now, which is you? Are you a doer of the work? Or are you a shirker and a loser of what God has promised the doer? Of course, there's no way that I know. I do not look at you in order to try to find something wrong with you. But I look at you as a brother, I almost said soul brother, but spiritually a brother in Jesus the Christ or a sister. And I want to go to heaven. But I want you to go too. And the only way we can do it is for us to work together in the body of Jesus the Christ. Be doers and not losers. So examine yourself. As Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, about verse 5, examine yourself. Examine yourself whether you're reprobate or not. Am I really doing what God would have me do? Or am I losing the blessings that He's promised the doer? So upon your examination, what do you find? Do you find a true, valuable servant to Jesus the Christ? Or do you find a shirker who's just trying to get by the skin of your teeth, as it were, but there are not going to be any teeth in heaven, so forget about the skin of them. And make yourself of a value to the cause of Jesus Christ. If all of us were as spiritually strong as our Lord would have us to be, do you suppose the congregation would have lost as many members over the past couple of years as we have? Something to seriously consider, isn't it? Could I have been a problem in that? Or have I worked to avoid it? If you're not a child of God, you haven't been of any help or service in the building up of a congregation or of the losing of a congregation as far as that's concerned. But wouldn't you like to serve the greatest of all masters and the only master that has the power to take you home to glory in that sweet by and by? So if you're not in His army, if you're not in His family, then don't you think maybe you're taking the wrong course, and consequently you're not gaining anything, and so your destiny is the wrong place? Wouldn't you like to change the course? We'd love to study with you. We'd love to help you to an understanding of what God would help you do. And upon that understanding, then, surrendering and help you to surrender to Jesus the Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. Surely, you believe that Jesus Christ is? Do you believe what He says? Surely you know that you cannot walk in sin and yet be His servant. So you're going to have to turn away from that sin to be cleansed by His blood, the only power that can remove that sin. And in order to accomplish that, you're going to have to give yourself to Him, confessing Him to be your Lord. And then having put that old man of sin to death, being buried with Christ by baptism, where that blood, precious blood, was saved to cleanse you from your sins and to be raised therefrom a new creature in Christ Jesus. There to serve Him, to walk in His footsteps, to render due consideration to God, your Heavenly Father, as a child of His, in making your way and your plans through the process of growing spiritually, to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've made a ruler over many things, I'll now make you a ruler over more." Wouldn't you like to hear something like that when you're called from the walks of the flesh? You can, but you have to do it God's way. And if you're not doing it God's way, you're losing. But we're here to help you to do it God's way. If you're a child of God and you're not fulfilling your responsibility according to the ability that you have, don't you think you ought to do something about it? Because we never know when He's going to call us from this life. And we're going to sing that song Brother Tony has selected to encourage you in the last moments in this service this morning.